Then the high priests and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to this man. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led the band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the God.
Hi, church, and it's good to meet on a Sunday with God's people. It's good to open God's word together. Let's pray before we read God's word. Father God, we thank you for your word, and thank you that, Jesus is Lord, and he is above all the authority in this world. Father, I pray that as we read your word, your spirit will work in us to help us to grasp how important this message is. Also, help me to be faithful and clear with your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growing up, I have many fears. When I was a kid, I had this Snow White storybook, which on one of the pages is this big close-up of the Evil Queen. I was so scared by this picture that I need my parents to actually hide it from me, to lock the book away from me so that I don't see this picture again. I was also scared by the monster of Ultraman. I still remember one night my parents were away and I and my brother, we were watching Ultraman. And the episode somehow got this monster which, when it kills someone, it can take on the human skin and become a human in disguise. And so, that monster can sneak up on the friends and the families of the victim as well. And I was so scared by this idea that after this episode, the whole night, I couldn't sleep at all. I was lying in my bed, didn't dare to close my eyes. I looked at different shadows in my bedroom the whole time until my parents came back home. Well, of course, these are just childish fears. Looking back, it's all a joke. But as humans, I think we have all experienced fear. When our heartbeat increases, when our palms become sweaty, when we experience shortness of breath, when our whole bodies, our hands, our feet shake uncontrollably. What's the last time you faced your own fear? When did you last experience symptoms like this, symptoms of fear? In today's passage, the apostles are also being caught in some quite fearful situation. They're in the midst of a power struggle. In verse 17 of our passage today, verse 17 it says, their popularity, the apostles' popularity amongst the people aroused the jealousy of the high priests and the Sadducees, the earthly authorities of that time. So how would the apostles respond to imprisonment and threatening words from the earthly authorities? How would they face this fearful situation? Well, let's have a look into our passage today. We'll divide our sermon into 3 points. Who is in control? God is in control, and Jesus is in control. Well, for the whole passage, I think Luke is trying to tell us that his readers, to help us see that, to ask the question, who is really in control? We've come to our first point, who is in control? So verse 18, come with me to verse 18. The high priest and the Sadducees, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Well, at first, it seems that the high priest and the Sadducees, they are the people who are in control. They're in full control of the situation. The apostles are arrested and are put in jail. However, immediately, Luke tells us God intervenes. An angel of the Lord saves the apostles and brings them out from the prison. It seems that the authorities do not have everything under control after all. And I think this is one of the main points that Luke tried to highlight for us throughout this narrative. Comparing verse 18 to 20, an action-packed night with arrest and jail time and angel of the Lord coming in secretly, saving God's people and bringing them out. To verse 21 to 26, the next paragraph. Comparing these two verses, these two passages, it seemed that Luke intentionally slowed down the narrative to let us know that how little control the authorities have to the whole situation. So let's have a read on verse 21 to 26. So on the next day, the high priest calls upon a meeting with all the elders of Israel. And they send officers to fetch the apostles. Well, obviously, the officers, when they arrived at the jail, they couldn't find the apostles. So they come back, they report to the high priest, saying, well, the jail is securely locked. The guards are standing at the door, but no one is inside. And hearing this report, Luke tells us the chief priest and the captain, they don't know what to do. They're puzzled. They have no idea what to do, but just left wondering what had happened. And if this is not humiliating enough, Luke immediately supplies another information for us. Someone comes in and says, "Oh, the man you put in jail, they are standing in the temple courts teaching." Well, surprise, surprise, that the apostles, they aren't even trying to hide from the authorities. They are in a public space doing exactly what the authorities asked them not to do, to teach about Jesus. I think two more hints given by Luke to show that the authorities are not in control at all. Verse 26, when the officers found the apostles, they did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. An irony presented by Luke to us. It is not the apostles, a normal citizen who fear the authorities, but the one who is in power, the captain and the officers, they are feared. They are in fear because they fear the crowd will stone them, and so they didn't dare to use force to arrest the apostles. And also in the speech of the high priest in verse 28, he says to the apostles, "We gave you straight orders not to teach in Jesus' name." Well, the high priest is the one who is giving orders here. But is he really in control? Does his order work? No, not really. He continued to say, "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." The high priest is not in control at all. The very thing they want to stop, the teaching of Jesus' resurrection, they fail to stop it. Jerusalem is filled with the message of Jesus. This is what Luke described for us, the high priest and the Sadducees. Though they have the power to imprison others, though they have officers and guards working under them, though they are the earthly powers, they are not in control at all. They wonder, they are puzzled, they fear, they fail to achieve what they want to do. They are powerless in the whole situation. Well, so if the earthly power, they are not in control, who's in control? God is in control. Come to our second point. God is in control. So verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And verse 33, when the high priest and the Sadducees heard their reply by the apostles, they were furious and wanted to put them, the apostles, to death. Well, this is serious. Things just escalated. The apostles pissed off the authorities so much that they want to put the apostles to death. So what will the apostles do? How can the apostles save themselves? A third party is introduced into the story by Luke, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Luke told us that he is honored by all people, and he seems to be in control of the situation as well. He gives order to put the apostles outside in verse 34, and he addresses the Sanhedrin. And at the end in verse 38, he orders the Sanhedrin, "Leave these men alone, let them go." And the Sanhedrin did, followed his order. In verse 40, Luke told us this speech by Gamaliel persuaded the Sanhedrin, and so they let the apostles go. Did the apostles get lucky? Somehow there's a random Pharisee who happens to be well-respected, who somehow speaks for the apostles, and so somehow the apostles are saved from being put to death. Well, I don't think luck is what Luke is trying to communicate to us here. I think Luke is trying to record this speech by the Pharisee to tell us, his reader, that God is actually the one in control. I think Luke is answering his own question. through this Pharisee's conclusion in verse 39. If it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. This is exactly what happened. The apostles, they are unstoppable. Or to be more accurate, God's kingdom is unstoppable. The proclamation of Jesus Christ continues day after day, and Luke is telling us, in this power struggle, it is not the high priest and the Sadducees who are in control. It is not the apostles who are in control. It is not even the Pharisee, Gamaliel, who is in control. God is the only one who is ultimately in control. God used this Pharisee, his speech, to save his apostles, to protect them. Just like at the start of the narrative, God used the angel of the Lord to save the apostles. And I think this should give us something to reflect on how we see God's work. I grew up in a Christian family, and so I've heard a lot of different testimonies at church, in different Bible conferences, Christian events, at school. And every time when I hear testimonies that are so dramatic, that the changes that God has brought to these people, the miracles that God has done in their life, I used to think, well, I wish I have something like this to share as well. I wish my testimony can be as exciting as this. I wish God would work miracles in my life, just like what he has done in these people's life. My testimony is so boring. I can't even pinpoint when I become a Christian. I wish God would do something miraculous, some wonders in my life as well. And I wonder if sometimes in our Christian life, we could all have a tendency like this as well. Putting too much emphasis on miracles, constantly seeking special spiritual experiences, supernatural experiences, like wanting to hear God speaking directly to me, or seeking to speak in tongues, or feeling particularly peaceful in a certain moment, or seeking special visions, having a miraculous healing. As if only this kind of experiences will help me in my Christian walk, as if my faith will be so much stronger when I experience these things, as if only through these experiences that God is at work. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying God can't use miracles to help us and protect us and save us. God can use both natural and supernatural ways to keep us and look after us. Just like our passage today, God can use the angel of the Lord to save his apostles, but he can also use natural ways like the Pharisee, the Gamaliel, his speech by to the Sanhedrin to save the apostles. I want to point out, though, that God is always in control, not just when supernatural things happen, but also in our everyday life. Let's remind ourselves not to put our trust in supernatural, miraculous experiences, but actually in God himself, who is sovereign over all, who is always in control, whose purpose will always fulfill. Well, God is the one who is in control. Throughout the whole narrative, the authorities might have their own plans and agendas and things that they want to achieve, but God saves his people. And his purpose continues to be carried out. Well, if our God is the one who is in control, he is always in control, but this doesn't guarantee us Christian to live all smooth and carefree and problemless life. In verse 40, we see that even though Gamaliel's speech persuaded the Sanhedrin not kill the apostles, they still called the apostles in, and they had them flogged, and then they ordered the apostles not to speak in Jesus' name again. They threatened them before letting the apostles go. While the apostles still got flogged, they were still being threatened to not speak in Jesus' name. The problem isn't fully solved. It's still very costly. It still brings them pains and sufferings. So why do the apostles, why do they persevere? What makes them continue to proclaim the name of Jesus? Because of this reality that Jesus is in control. We have come to our third point. Jesus is in control. Come with me to verse 30 and 31. The message the apostles are proclaiming in those verses. They proclaim before the Sanhedrin that Jesus, the Jesus you killed, God exalted him to his own right hand, an expression to emphasize a power being at God's right hand. And not just where Jesus is right now, but who he is. He's the prince, or in ESV, he's the leader. Jesus is the one who has been given authority by God. He's above all the earthly powers, above all the earthly leaders, including the high priest and the Sadducees. God has raised Jesus to be the ruler and Lord of all. And not just ultimate power, but also Jesus is the Savior. He is the one who gives repentance through the witness of the apostles and also the Holy Spirit, who changes our hearts. Jesus is the one through whom there can be forgiveness. And this is the reason why the apostles are willing to go through sufferings, despite being threatened and being warned by those who have more power than them. The truth of Jesus gives them the reason to rejoice. In verse 41, the apostles rejoice because they are counted worthy of suffering disgrace for their Lord Jesus. They are worthy to work for, to do things for their King, their Lord. This gives reason God's apostles continue to proclaim in the name of Jesus. Do we have such spiritual eyes like the apostles in our Christian walk? Does the reality of who Jesus is have the same grip on our hearts? That despite circumstances, despite facing fears in our life, you can still be like the apostles who persevere in holding out the truth. Well, the fear we need to face today might not be physical. It probably won't be being flogged. But maybe it's the fear to acknowledge in a hostile setting when people are mocking Christian that actually you are a Christian, you are a follower of Christ. Maybe it's the fear of how others will see us, will look at us when we talk about our faith in a secular setting. Maybe it's the fear to stand firm against your boss when he asks you to do something that is not right. Maybe it's just going against the culture of working overtime and not staying late every night because Bible study is happening on one of the weeknights. Maybe it's the fear of missing out from the next promotion because you rather invest your time to care for and to love those around you and don't have enough time to do the extra course to invest in yourself. Brothers and sisters, how can we imitate the apostles in the face of fear? To hold on to the truth of Jesus Christ is Lord and have the spiritual eyes to walk our Christian walk. Well, let's use this Old Testament story to conclude our sermon today. In 2 Kings 6, the king of Aram, an enemy of God's people, the Israelites, he was fighting Israel, and God's prophet, Elisha, he was tipping off the Israelites, helping them to fight God's people's enemy, the king of Aram. And so the king of Aram, he sent horses and chariots and strong forces to surround the city where Elisha was. In the morning, when Elisha's servant found out that they are being surrounded, they are being outnumbered by the enemy, he was scared and he asked Elisha, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" And the prophet replied, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed to God to open his servant's eyes. Immediately, the servant's eyes were opened, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. God's army around Elisha, protecting them. Brothers and sisters, let's ask God to open our eyes as well to the reality of something even more powerful than horses and chariots of fire. The reality of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of Father, who has all the power, who is the Lord of all kings, all lords of our world. Let's ask God to open our eyes so that when we face fear in this world, we can be like the song we are going to sing after this, to say, "I will look back to see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able. Jesus, Lord of all." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the boldness of the apostles, that through them, the good news of Jesus has been proclaimed and spread even to Hong Kong and beyond. We ask that you will open our eyes as well. Open our eyes to see the reality of Jesus. He's Lord. He's the sovereign Lord ruling on your right hand. So that when we face fear in our daily life, in our Christian life, we will still persevere to live a life worthy of your calling. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.